In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, today is a question that should not be asked. It seems reasonable, but it is not reasonable. The Lord did not think it was reasonable. It was the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, in this gospel selection about the ruler who asked the question, people focus often on the Lord's command to him. He says, if you love me, then you lack one thing, sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And that's important. But what's more important is that the ruler did not understand the first thing about salvation. He asked a question that he shouldn't have needed to ask. The Lord made that really clear. Let's look at it. So the ruler, or a Jewish scholar, and a rich one, comes to him and says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Perhaps that seems reasonable to you. And it is reasonable in certain contexts. You go to your spiritual father and say, help me with this problem, or what should I do with this problem, or how can I learn to pray better? How can I learn to be more humble? Those are all good questions. But in this context, the ruler was asking a bad question. Because the Lord says, why do you call me good? Because he had said, good master, what shall I do? And the reason the Lord said that is because the ruler didn't know who he was talking to. He was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man. And he didn't know it. He didn't understand it. If you don't understand who Christ is, it really doesn't matter what questions you ask, or what answers you get, or what you learn. If you must understand who Christ is, Jesus Christ came, becoming man, in order to heal us of our sin. And that is because the purpose of our life, in God's mind, is to know him. And you cannot know him without being like him. And so this question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, it's really a very easy answer. Follow Christ. Our children, they ask a lot of questions, interesting ones, of course, that we wish we could write down and remember. But in essence, they don't ask, how should I live my life? They follow what their parents do. So we follow what Christ does. It's as simple as that. But we have to know why God made us in order to be following him. He made us for perfection. He made us for the knowledge of him. He made us to be completely free of sin in every way, to be completely free according to his image and after his likeness. And so the purpose of our life is to be like him, which means anything we do that will help us to be like him is good. Anything we do that does not help us to be like him is bad. It's as simple as that. One does not need to say, what thing do I need to do? You need to follow Christ. You need to become like him. The Lord emphasizes this when he goes on and says, after rebuking him for saying, why do you call me good? In other words, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't even know why you were created. You don't even know your purpose. And you're telling me, asking me, what thing should I do? He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. He only mentions a few of them. He actually doesn't mention the two greatest ones, does he? And they're not from the Ten Commandments. They're from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the second, which is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't mention those because they encompass everything else. And clearly this man does not understand what salvation is all about. Now he mentions the commandments because these are just the beginning for us to follow the way of Christ, for us to be like him. That's why we have commandments, not because the Lord makes arbitrary rules but because they reflect who he is. This is a message we especially need to get out to our youth, and for that matter, for people who are 60 and 70 years old, because we live in a sexually permissive age where it's just assumed that any sex is good sex, and that there's really no reason to abstain from sex because it's a natural thing and people love each other, and it's just very, very strange to have these kinds of arbitrary rules. Our youth need to know there's a reason for chastity. There's a reason for sexual purity, because God is pure and God is good, and we are trying to be like God. All of the commandments reflect who God is. That is why he gave us those commandments. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. God would not do these things. God is not like these things. That's why we follow the commandments. And if you need to be told to follow the commandments, then already you are missing the reason for them and the energy and the power behind them. The reason for the commandments is to become like God. That's what you were created for, to become perfect, to become holy, to become absolutely at peace and have the knowledge of God within you, to be eternally alive. The things that the commandments prohibit, they are the way of death. And so he tells the young man, the ruler, the commandments, in order to try to, perhaps he will come to some understanding. But we shouldn't need to be told the commandments. The commandments should be in your heart. You follow the way of God. Just like in a family, parents, they definitely have rules for their children, and they'll tell them things to do and not do. But basically, the children will learn to be honest because the parents are honest, to be kind because the parents are kind. If you need to daily tell your children to be kind, well, when they're young, you need to do that. But when they're old, you certainly shouldn't have to, because that should be something that's just in their hearts. And so remember, the commandments are a reflection of who God is. That's why we follow them, not because they're arbitrary rules. There's nothing arbitrary about God at all. Nothing arbitrary about our religion. Our religion is to know God, to be united with him, to know him intimately and personally, and to be perfected. So everything we do should be toward that end. The young man said he'd kept all of those commandments. Well, first of all, I'd say that he was a liar. The Lord said, perhaps before this probably, in the Sermon on the Mount, that if you even look after a woman to lust after her, look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. So which man can say that he has not had sexual impurity in his life? So on that count, he can't say that he fulfilled that commandment. Do not kill. None of us have fulfilled that commandment. None of us. Because the Lord said that it said that you shall not kill. But I say to you, if you say to your brother, Raka, you're guilty of hellfire. What does that mean? To slander your brother, to hurt your brother, to malign your brother. That is killing. Stealing. Bearing false witness. Which one of us is not guilty of any of these sins? So the man was incorrect in saying he'd followed all those commandments. That's because he had a superficial understanding of them. We are called to perfection. And perfection takes time and takes effort. And it involves falling down and getting up many, many times. And we must have a healthy understanding of this. Not think ourselves to be more than we are. We're sinners, but God will help us to become perfected. The saddest part of this gospel, it reminds me of other gospels that make me very sad, little short things. It says he was very sorrowful. This sorrow was similar to that sorrow of those people that I seem to mention many, many times, the people of the Gergesenes, when the pigs were drowned because the demons and the man were out into the pigs and they drowned and the people had their livelihood lost and they were afraid. So they go to the Lord and they say, "Leave us," and he does. They had sorrow because of their loss, sorrow because their sin had been revealed. This man was sorrowful because he wanted something that was worldly, and he wanted God. And he wanted to hold on to the worldly thing more than God, so he left. That's very tragic and very sad. There's a lot of sorrow in the world. Most people are sorrowful about the wrong things. We should be sorrowful about our sins, sorrowful about the sufferings of others, not sorrowful about our bills or about the fact that we don't think we have the status we should have, or that somebody has something more than us, or that we don't have the things that we think we need or that we want, or we think we're working too hard, or we're bored, or whatever. Those things are the sorrow of the world, and the sorrow of the world does not beget repentance. The sorrow of Christians begets repentance, and that is sorrow about your sins, sorrow about your condition, and by extension then, the condition of others. That's the kind of sorrow we should have. And if somebody needs to tell you to have that kind of sorrow, then you're really not close to the kingdom of God. You're farther away than you should be. Cultivate in your life sorrow for your sins, sorrow for the sufferings of others, and a great desire to follow the way of Christ. He will tell you what you need to do. You don't need to ask the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You should know what you need to do. You need to cleave to Christ, and you need to follow him with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. And because of following him and loving him, you would need to love your brother as yourself and your enemy as yourself. It's important when we see in Scripture these questions or these statements that should not be said or asked. You must purge yourself of such questions. Most people actually ask this question. Not in so many words, but most people are somewhat legalistic and somewhat superstitious. And so there's certain things that they do so they think they can be right with God. We're never right. We're never sinless. But God will love us and God will help us. And all we need to do is reach out to him as a child reaches out to his mother. That's all we need to do. And you need to cultivate this. The way you learn this is with struggle. The way you learn this is by reading the Scriptures, by fasting, by prayer. If you rarely read the Scriptures, if you rarely fast, if you rarely pray, this question will be a conundrum to you. And you will be asking it, even if you don't think you're asking it. We should just follow Christ. That's it. Because he created us to know him intimately. And there's something in the way of knowing him, our sins. And we don't know how to get rid of our sins, but he does. So we go to him and he will help us. That is what the ruler should have understood. And that's what each one of us should understand. And that's my prayer for you as your pastor. That you recognize that you have deep need within yourself, and that need can only be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Not by a book, not by knowledge, worldly knowledge, even if the worldly knowledge is about the Philokalia and St. John Chrysostom and all the rest. It has to be where the heart desires God, and therefore you reach out to him and you live according to who he is. That is the lesson, sort of in negative today. In other words, don't do what the ruler did. Do it this way. Reach out for Christ with all of your heart. Cultivate understanding of him. Love your brother. Struggle with your prayers. And all of these things, all of the conundrums that are in your mind, they're all be answered by God. All you need to do is reach out to him and beg him to help you, and then live according to who he is. May God help us to do this. Amen.